historian Josephus told the story about a woman in Rome whose name Paulina. She was very wealthy and beautiful, and she was married to a guy named Saturnius. Now, Saturnius was a businessman, very successful, and loved his wife. But there was a man named Mundus who wanted Paulina for himself. He offered her 200,000 drachma to stay the night with him. Now, Paulina was already wealthy, married, and she refused his request despite him continually sending her gifts. Mundus eventually lost hope that he was ever going to have her, and so he decided to starve himself to death. Now, Mundus had a slave named Ida, and she was very crafty. And she knew that Paulina worshipped at the Temple of Isis. So Ida went to the Temple of Isis, and she bribed the priest with 25,000 drachma. And she assured the priest that no one would know, and that they would receive even more money from Mundus if they helped with a plan she had. So the priest agreed. Now, the temple priest then sent a message to Paulina saying that the god Anubis had requested Paulina to dine and sleep that night at the temple. So she went to the temple and she had dinner. And after dark, the priest closed the doors, put lights out, and Mundus, who'd been hiding, jumped out, revealed himself as Anubis. And Paulina assumed that he was a god. 2 days later, Mundus revealed to Paulina what had really happened in the temple, and she told her husband, and he was furious, and he reported it to the emperor, Tiberius. So Tiberius had the statue of Isis thrown into the river, had the priest and Ida crucified, and, well, he pretty much let Mundus off with exile, because he considered it a crime of passion. Now, can you imagine worshiping a god who would ask you to be unfaithful to your spouse? Y'all know the difference between God and other deities? The deities people worship that aren't God? God is holy. He gives us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to encourage us and to sustain us, and to help us to lead the holy lives He calls us to lead. Because of the Holy Spirit, we don't have to be able to quote the entire Bible to know what we're supposed to be about as believers. Because of the Holy Spirit, we are able to reject the things our carnal minds lead us to do. Romans 8:6-8 tells us, "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the life, by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God." Let me ask y'all a question. Have you ever seen the little decorative plates that say, "Lord, I've been real good today. I hadn't said anything ugly. I hadn't thought anything ugly. I've been filled with joy. But Father, I'm fixing to get out of bed and I'm going to need your help for the rest of the day." Yes, it's a joke. But like many jokes, it has a lot of truth behind it. Even those of us who aren't morning people are generally more in tune with the Holy Spirit when we wake up, and more so than any other time of the day. Why? Because we haven't let the world draw our attention away from God. We haven't let the things of the world get between God and us. There's an old hymn that goes, "This world is not my home." But y'all, we sure act like it is, don't we? I think we've done the Holy Spirit a great disservice by thinking about him as a spirit, because that lends itself to the idea that it is a ghost, a translucent, supernatural, filmy being, thing that floats around going, whoo. And when he possesses us, it's a bad thing. What if instead we begin looking at the Holy Spirit as a person, a real person who influences who we are? Now, Jesus is a real person to us, right? We look to him as an example of how we are to act and live. We sing. He's my friend. What if we reprogram our thinking and lean on the Holy Spirit for instructions as to how we are to act and live? What if we sing "He's my friend" about the Holy Spirit? Now, have y'all ever heard the term redheaded stepchild used as a derogatory? The phrase came about because of Irish immigrants in the 1800s. Since red hair is a recessive gene, both parents have to carry the gene for the child to have red hair. When Irish parents, immigrants, remarried, if their new spouse didn't carry the gene, then the children born to them couldn't be redheaded. So children from a previous relationship, redheaded children from a previous relationship, stood out from the rest of the family and often were mistreated because of the difference. Y'all, for many of us, the Holy Spirit is a redheaded stepchild of the Trinity because he's different. Now think about it. Think about it. God, well, God is God. He created the earth and everything in it. We worship and adore God. Jesus is Jesus. He came to earth, he died for our sins, and we worship and adore Jesus. But the Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit's the Holy Spirit. He leads us to do things we're not really comfortable with, and he makes us feel bad when we sin. So for most of us, we're just going to put him in a box over there and let him out when we can control him. The redheaded stepchild. The more we put the Holy Spirit in a box, the easier it is to keep him there, and the harder it is for him to reach us with his urgings to use the gifts from God given through the Spirit. But we can't be the people that God calls us to be if we put the Holy Spirit in a box. Jesus told us in John 14:26, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." That is the Word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. The Holy Spirit is our person given to us by God in the name of Jesus Christ to teach us all things and remind us of his teachings. Now, over the next few months, in fact, if I've figured correctly, right up until about Easter, we're going to be looking at the gifts the Holy Spirit gives us. Now, scholars have divided the gifts of the Spirit into three categories. There are the gifts of revelation. And these gifts bring clarity and wisdom into God's words, ways, and actions. These gifts include wisdom, knowledge, and discernment. The power gifts are gifts that demonstrate God's power, and they include faith, healing, and the working of miracles. And the last category is speaking gifts. These are the gifts that God uses to communicate with us audibly. We hear these, and they include speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Now, the first one we're going to look at is the gift of faith. Faith is third on Paul's list of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, I had a hard time thinking about faith as a spiritual gift. I mean, we have to have faith to accept Christ, but we don't receive the gifts of the Spirit until we accept Christ. So how is faith a gift of the Spirit? And the best way I can explain it is that everyone who comes to Christ has personal faith that brings salvation. But remember, spiritual gifts are given for the common good and the edification of the church, and they're used to reach others for Christ. The faith that brings a person to Christ is for them and only them. It's personal. The spiritual gift of faith is a supernatural endowment of the Spirit that gives a person complete confidence in God's promises, power, and presence. The gift of faith brings far more than simple confidence. Though confidence can come naturally. Non-believers can have courage and confidence, and everyone can do things to build up their confidence. However, believers gifted with supernatural faith believe God for the big, huge, unbelievable things before they ever see evidence of God at work. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:9, when he's talking about the spiritual gifts, that while some receive wisdom or knowledge, others receive faith by the same Spirit. Now, this faith is different than the faith that brings us to Christ. And it's different from the faith that gets us through the day-to-day. This faith doesn't work a miracle. It gives a miracle. It's the faith that comes on us and assures us that everything will be all right. It's the faith that provides us with the ability to pick up our feet and keep going, despite the dumpster fire that might be our lives at that moment. Supernatural faith. Let Daniel lie down and sleep after being thrown into the lion's den. Daniel's faith was passive. He didn't do anything to have it. Daniel 6:23 says, "The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God." Jesus exercised the gift of faith when he was in danger. During a raging storm, Jesus slept on a pillow in the back of the ship. This was a gift of faith in operation, which happens when someone simply expects a miracle. Now, some may argue, yeah, but that was Jesus. He was the Son of God. But think about this. Jesus never did anything except by the power of the Holy Spirit. He stripped himself of the power he had as the Son of God when he was here as a human. The Holy Spirit came on Jesus and anointed him when John baptized him in the Jordan River. Now, Jesus was just as much the Son of God before the Holy Spirit came upon him as he was afterward. Yet the Bible tells us he had never worked any miracles before his baptism. After his baptism, Jesus ministered as any man anointed by the Holy Spirit would minister. While the storm swept across the sea, Jesus slept. He wasn't bothered by the storm. When hungry lions roared at Daniel, he laid down and slept in the face of that danger. Throughout the Bible, we see such instances where the gift of faith worked for individuals in the face of great danger. As I write this sermon, a dear brother in Christ is dying. I have watched his and his wife's faith grow throughout his illness. Emotionally battered through the ups and downs of treatments and potential cures. But their faith tells them that everything will be all right. God has the situation and them in his arms. They have kept their focus on God and used his illness to point others to God. And that, loved ones, can only happen because of the supernatural gift of faith. When I lost my husband, since I lost my husband, I've had many people that knew us as a couple tell me they didn't know how I managed to keep going, much less submit to the ministry. And my reply to them has always been, what choice have I had? Y'all, I'm going to tell you, this sermon has changed my answer. Because when I reply, what choice have I had? I am saying that I made it this far by something I have done. No, I haven't done it. I now know that the Holy Spirit gifted me with supernatural faith. And that faith gives me that the assurance that God's got this. And God's got me no matter what obstacle I am facing. Now understand, I'm not talking about the gift of faith staying with me. And when I lose my keys, I just know I'm going to find my keys because I have the supernatural gift of faith. No, no. In the case of losing Clay, the Holy Spirit gifted me with supernatural faith to get through what I face. It's not hubris. It's not excessive pride or confidence in myself that allows me to claim or acknowledge a gift from God given to me by the Holy Spirit. It's pride and confidence in my God and believing that He keeps His promises. What are you facing today? If you have calmness knowing that God's got you, then the Holy Spirit has gifted you with supernatural faith. Look back on your lives at times when even you don't realize how you made it through whatever it might have been. And recognize the Holy Spirit's work in giving you the supernatural faith to keep putting one foot in front of the other. My prayer for us all today is that we begin understanding that when we can keep going and keep proclaiming Christ as our Savior and Lord, and we do that in the face of anything, it's because of a gift from God through the Holy Spirit. It's because of the gift of supernatural faith. When we understand that, we can stop saying that we don't know how we made it through something. We can stop wondering how someone is making it through something. Instead, we can stand flat-footed and boldly proclaim that it's because of the supernatural gift of faith. And when we can do that, when we acknowledge that gift, either in us or in others, We give God the glory for what He has done. We allow God to use the things that happen to us for the good of others who love Him. And we show non-believers a God that is someone they want to get to know. We allow people to look at us, or we look at others that are going through something. And we see a God that we want to know better. Loved ones, that gift, that supernatural gift of faith from the Spirit is what gets us through the unbearable. Recognize that faith. Thank God for that gift. And open yourself up to the possibility of receiving gifts from the Holy Spirit. Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, we all face things in life that are unbearable. The loss of loved ones, the illness of loved ones, financial devastations, all of these things. And it is only through your Spirit that we receive the strength and the faith that we need to get through these things. Father, just be with us. Let us feel you. Let us feel your presence. And let us see the Holy Spirit at work in our lives and in the life of others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.